Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cow Weekly. You can see Alice Wolfe there in the screen. How are you doing, Alice? You good? You're back?
Yeah. Greetings from the Peas Pudding Wokarati.
Peas Pudding Wokarati. I like what you've done there. People don't know what peas pudding is. It's basically the northeast of England in a dish.
Geordie hummus. Right.
Geordie hummus, aye.
Yeah.
traditional hummus. No word of a lie, right? For those who don't know, my partner's like she's quite like middle class, and like when she came to Newcastle when we were first getting together, our parents are Geordies, like, but that's by the by. She, I showed her what a peas pudding was, and she said a version of that. It's like traditional hummus or something like that, but obviously in a accent, it just was hilarious to me. I was absolutely doubled up. I must have looked like a right dick because we'd known each other like a week or something. I was just, you know, supposed to be on your best behavior. I was like, shut up, man, traditional hummus. Magic. Anyway, shout to my partner, all the best. You're probably watching in the back, sorry. Sorry about that. So anyway, I'm sorry, you were going to say something before I go into the...
Oh, no, Karen.
All right, on this week's show, we have Rishi Sunak, not literally, Nadine Dorris, she's not coming either, Keir Starmer, definitely not getting an invite, but we're going to go to a deep dive on each one of them, and honestly, the Dorris stuff off Talk TV last night is fucking brilliant. I have been sitting for 24 hours waiting to show you, Alice, to welcome you back from your sick bed.
Thank you. Yeah, I've just...
But before we go into all that, tell us about your sick bed. What was the crack this time?
It was... But basically, I've had like two like viral infections in the space of about 3 weeks, neither of which were COVID. They kind of didn't seem too bad, but not this weekend just gone, but the weekend before. Like the coughing got really, really bad. I nearly ended up in hospital because it just totally triggered my asthma and I couldn't fucking breathe, basically. So that was a good laugh. And then I think it was just the sheer fatigue. Like after it, I've never known like exhaustion. Like, I mean, I've still got a bit of the cough. If I end up having to like mute myself, it's like I'm not coughing much, but when I do, I just don't seem to be able to stop. So if I suddenly mute myself, then that's about. But it just seems
ironically, I'm coughing my throat up there.
But honestly, it seems like everybody in the northeast of England has the same thing. It's like this weird viral infection that you think you're getting over, and then it seems to come back faster than Suella Braverman, actually, as it happens, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Well, do you want to do it now? Because I've got the cabinet list here, so we could start with that and then just like...
Yeah, come on, let's just dive headfirst straight into that.
Two seconds, then let us pull it up. I may have to bring it up here, and I will. So I'll just keep talking, like talking. There's no such thing as dead air here, and I've just put it into the stream.
Just found out about this, like not long before, like a few.
Yeah, minutes. I made this about 5 minutes before, like you came on to have the pre-chat. Like,
never known anything like it. Like how fast it's changing.
Crazy, yeah. So I got this from gov.uk. I'll read it out and you can give us your thoughts on each one. Uh-huh. Firstly, what I want to say is the King has been pleased to approve the following appointments. That's not only weird saying the King, it's really weird that we have a King. Anyway, moving on. Right Honourable Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister, we know this. Jeremy Hunt, Chancellor, stays in post. Any thoughts?
My thoughts on Jeremy Hunt. I actually did look for a T-shirt to wear tonight that has his face on it with a particular phrase on it, but I can't find it, so I'm going to hopefully dig that out for the next time.
It's Raymond Slang, I'll bet, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Dominic Raab, one of the worst people there is.
Absolutely.
He's Deputy Prime Minister.
Oh, for fuck's sake. And, right, and Secretary of State for Justice. Great.
Yeah. Not great, is it? Simon Hart, MP, never heard of him, but he's the Secretary of the Treasury. I'll fly through this. James Cleverly, the opposite of what his name is, generally, he's going to be... He's reappointed as Secretary of State for Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs. Great. Ben Wallace, reappointed as Minister of Defence, Secretary of State for Defence. Nadeem Zahawi, the biggest flip-flopper in the country, Minister without portfolio. How interesting, Nadia. You've really messed that one up.
What does that mean? Like, I saw that earlier and I was like, what the fuck does minister without portfolio mean?
It means that you don't have a specific brief. So, for example, you're not the Chancellor, you're not like charged with money, or you're not the Home Office. Do you know what I mean? You're just nothing really. You kind of just float around, but you're in cabinet meetings, you know?
Right. Okay.
So he basically doesn't have a brief. He's just there. I mean, sometimes a minister without a portfolio might help when other ministers are overloaded, but really it's just a title.
That sounds nice and normal. Normal island. Yeah.
Well, it does happen. Like, I mean, like you have it in like National Union of Students and things like that as well. You have officer without portfolio and things like that. It's generally so people can get their mates on into the Students' Union. And there you go. They're doing it as the cabinet of the bloody country. But we'll fly through this. We've got a lot of cover. So Oliver Dowden, Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. That used to be Gove's position, by the way. Suella Braverman, Secretary of State for Pure Evil. She remains in post, like, or comes back to post, whichever way you want to put it.
Like, bear in mind, you know, she, like, 6 days ago, she quit / sacked for breaking the ministerial code. And now she's back as the Home Secretary.
Oh my God, she's back again.
Like literally though, I went to the toilet before I came on the show, and I came back out, and Suella Braverman was like Home Secretary again. It was like my toilet was a fucking time machine or something.
I wonder who will it be tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anyone, but like, if you don't know who she is, basically she makes General Pinochet look like Mr. Rogers. One of the nastiest, vilest people. She's kind of got this, like, do you know who she reminds me of? Do you know the evil penguin from Wallace and Gromit? That just kind of stares really blankly and weirdly, like, all
and
the time.
Would happily rip your face off and wear it as a cape.
Yeah. She's like that evil penguin, and you also expect to just start throwing people out of helicopters. Like,
she's just horrible. Like, Grant Shapps, or whatever he's called himself this week. He's took Rees-Mogg's old job, Secretary of State for Business, Energy and Industry Strategy. Penny Mordaunt reappointed as Lord President of the Council and Leader of the House of Commons. Okay. Good.
Do we know if Anne-Marie Trevelyan is still the Transport Minister?
Well, we do have further. There's this. So there's no Trevelyan. This is the full list. So the last of the list, Julian Keegan MP, Secretary of State for Education, Mel Stride, Work and Pensions, Therese Coffey, Secretary of State for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, Steve Barclay, Health and Social Care, and the return of the Mac himself, Michael Gove MP, Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, and Minister for Intergovernmental Relations. Back Lovely. Streets back, all right.
I'm assuming Matt Hancock's just been appointed as the boy who has to open any post or eat any food that Sunak thinks might have been sent by Nadine Dorries.
Did you see Hancock get fully mugged off by Sunak when he went to give him a hug and he just mugged him?
Yeah, I was proper laughing, belly laughing at that.
They hate each other. The Tories, all of them hate each other.
They really do. Like, they can't even hide it. It's actually funny. I mean, I watched Rishi Sunak being sworn in, given his first address officially as Prime Minister this morning. And honestly, talk about throwing Liz Truss right under the bus in the most passive aggressive way. It was just like, it's pure pantomime. It really is.
Oh, it's the best. I love it. Do you know what it is? We're going to flip the script on the running order here and we'll go straight into Doris, because it does actually link into all of this stuff in terms of how they hate each other. So I really think that that's a good idea. So anyway, Nadine Doris has been let loose on Talk TV, standing in for Piers Morgan last night on the day before Rishi Sunak was appointed Prime Minister by the King today. The King. I can't say the King without putting on it. The King type voice. It's 2022 and we've still got a fucking King. It's ridiculous. But anyway, Doris was on last night and I was howling, because what we need to be looking at at all times when she's on screen is Nadine herself, because it's not just about what she says, it's what she doesn't say. She could not lie straight in bed. If you keep looking at her face, it's brilliant. So this is on a day where they're preaching party unity and doing all this like clap, clap, clap stuff. We've all seen the footage, like the footage where Matt Hancock got mugged clean. But anyway, they're mugging each other left and right. Check this out. This is Doris.
Privileges committee that is going to be coming up and going to be right in our faces for the next few months. You know that Boris Johnson is going to be called up in front of this committee. It's going to be televised, and we are going to publicly brand him a liar for a second time, and he could be ousted by Christmas. I don't think that the country is stable enough to have someone like Boris Johnson in place. Rishi, who's not marred by those accusations, perhaps it's a safer bet.
Well, he was fined, and actually that committee, which has not set its terms of reference, I'm sure very soon will expand those terms of reference to scoop in Rishi as well, because as I said, he was in the same building, breathing the same air, was also fine.
Nadine, can
we just finish on one very quick question? A yes or no? Are you, as a Tory MP, still a Tory MP, going to now back Rishi Sunak as MP and support him?
He's the leader of my party. He's Prime Minister of the country, of course.
OK, brilliant. Next tonight, more from our panel and Nadine's thoughts on the gleeful BBC presenter.
She's fucking mint. I don't care she's a Tory. I love her. I don't care how judged I'm being by saying this. I mean, I hate her politics, but I love her. She's off her nut, man.
Oh no! She's wired to the fucking moon, like she really is. She really. Everybody's nearly got, like, every woman I know has either got into or nearly got into a fight with a woman like Nadine Dorries at the bar before on a night out.
Yeah,
been accused of looking at their boyfriend or some shit like that. Like, she's just got like pure like honey badger energy. Like
Lambrini girls just want to have fun, don't hate.
No, at all times. Yeah, but as you say, it's like she can't hide it. It's in her face. And she doesn't really try too hard to either. She's just a fucking howl.
Oh God. Honestly, yeah. Right. I haven't spoken to you about this actually, but yesterday I had a right like mental health type day. Basically what happened was I was exhausted, and you know how like I'll work far too hard and then just hit a wall.
Yes.
I caught myself just before that and ended up sleeping for 10 hours last night.
Good.
Which is no nightmare at all. I just don't like 6 or 7 tops. And I was just done. But I was really depressed, and then Nadine Dorries came on Talk TV and I was cackling my head off, man. Like the whole thing, please go and watch it. Like, forget all that bullshit about like you're sending traffic to them. It's too funny, man. Just go and treat yourself. Go and watch Nadine Dorries standing up Piers Morgan, the whole thing. A body language is fucking brilliant. And I'll tell you what, right? I've got another one here, right? And it was as they were wrapping up the segment, right? Or the end of the show as they were standing in. Check out what she says here, right at the end. She just cannot not have the last word. Listen.
My 44 days crashing the economy. What's she even going to say tomorrow?
Sorry.
I don't think we are going to get any sorry.
She's going to call for unity. That's what she'll do, because that's what we need right now.
Do you think?
Who's unity?
The party.
Oh, sorry, the party.
The party does.
Perhaps that was the maid.
The only unity is, one, you all hate each other, and two, none of you want a general election.
Well, it's exactly the same in the Labour Party, Kevin, but thanks for pointing that out.
They want a general election.
Well, they do all hate each other.
Coming up next, we turn our attention to Ukraine. Is Putin about to unleash...
Well, they do all hate each other, Kevin.
Yeah. She's got no filter, like, whatsoever. None. It's great. It's great.
You can't tell me, right, that the Boris Johnson faction didn't go, Nadine, get yourself stood in for Piers Morgan. Get in there. We've got no script for you. Just get yourself in there. You know? Talk your talk. Feel free, Nadine. Say whatever you want. So here's the thing, right? I fucking wrote something, like, just something quick, like yesterday, paragraph, right? And it was like, what I said was, when I was watching it, Nadine Dorris just said on Talk TV that she expects the Privileges Committee charged with investigating Boris Johnson's conduct will expand their terms of reference to include Rishi Sunak. Doris maintains that Sunak was doing what Boris Johnson was doing. If Doris is right, then it's hard to see how Sunak could continue as Prime Minister if he's implicated at the same level as Johnson. So on a more serious tip, what are your thoughts on that?
When I heard her talking, that was one of the only things that I kind of agreed with her on, actually. I mean, I think people forget that Boris Johnson wasn't the only person fined, and he certainly wasn't alone at any of these things. I mean, we know there was just more than him and Sunak as well.
Yeah.
But only, you know, those two got fined and were named. That we know that there were some others fined, but it's less clear as to who that was. Yeah, and they were fined £50, which for people like Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak, £50 is absolute, you know, it's
whatever, isn't it?
This is what we say about fines and stuff and things like that. A fine as a punishment, as a sentence, just means it's legal for rich people.
That's true story,
that's
man.
What it is, you know, they don't give a shit about things like that. So yeah, as much as I'm loath to say it, she's kind of right.
Well, God, she's bang on, eh? She's absolutely bang on. But this is the thing. The context of this is everything. Mm. He hadn't even been named Prime Minister. They're all preaching unity and doing all this. Fucking settle the markets. Go on, Rishi. Yay, Rishi, yay. And the next thing they're sending the human hand grenade onto Talk TV to chat a shit. Which is just crazy, man. It's like all of that stuff was like, I took it as like a nod to their base where it was like, just hold your horses, just wait. You know, it's not over sort of thing. And I found some other shit here. There's these type of things are popping up. So for audio people, this is from Conservative Post, hashtag Boris2024, and there's a Boris2024 thing. This went up on Sunday night, which is obviously the night before Doris went on there, and it's Tuesday now. Also, they've put another one out, which is, let us know when you need us, Boris. Boris Johnson, Team Boris. Boris, we'll be here for you when you want to run for PM again. We know you'll be back. Hasta la vista, Boris. Notwithstanding the fact that it's nailed on that that's happening, the fact that, like, the cringe of these people where they're all like, Boris. But I guarantee you, these are the people who have been going around going like, oh, Corbyn, it's all a cult.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Jesus, man. Like, they're off their nut.
No, that's the thing. They don't give a shit what he's, you know, what he's done. And they don't really give a shit what the, you know, other members of the Conservative Party have done as well. It's all about, you know, it's all about their team. They're not even that bothered that we're kind of on the, you know, the second prime minister in a row that hasn't been elected by the public, you know. So for all of this kind of, you know, screeching about, you know, freedom of speech online every 2 seconds and, you know, about our rights and all the rest of it, like they're quite happy for that to continue because it means that their team stays in power for a bit longer when actually it's a bit, if you're going to call yourself a democracy, and I don't think that we do live in one. To be quite frank,
clearly we don't. Yeah,
we've got strong evidence at the minute that we don't. You can't be saying that is okay, that is normal behaviour.
True story, man. No, I fully agree with you. I have no pushback for you on that whatsoever. Crackers times. Sunak, though, right? Actually, before we do, there's a few comments. Let's see who's in. Who's in? Laird Raffles. Honey Badger Energy, ha ha ha.
For me.
Jacqueline Hemmons, Nads is like the Miriam Margolis evil twin, same like the filter. That's so bang on, isn't it?
Oh, that's great. I love that.
I know, man. Leanne Powell, hello, Leanne, nice to see you. Suella Deville, being back as Home Secretary is an absolute scandal.
It really is. It's an absolute piss take.
Right, who else we got in here? Ali Keefe is in. Come on, StreamYard, do the business. Oh, for God's sake. Right, sorry. Steve Jackson. Feathers McGraw at least had a working brain and went to prison. He would have been more integrated than diverting funds to Tunbridge Wells. Laird Raffles, Gove should be Secretary of State for Beak. Allegedly, Laird. Allegedly. So Tyrannosaurus is here. She just sat there and seethed.
Yeah, she really. No, she does.
Did you see her face, man, Nadine?
No, like absolutely. Like,
cannot hide. Does. There's no hiding place there. Like, is there? Simple as that. Hello to everybody else who's in. Paul Daly saying, good T-shirt game tonight, both.
Thank you.
Also, thanks for being on the podcast the other week, Paul. If you want to check out Paul's, go have a look on all our different channels. And also Socialist Think Tank are going live at 9 o'clock tonight. So an hour to get a cup of tea and that, and then check them out there. And I'll be in the comments, hopefully, probably wrecked out my bonds talking shit as usual. But that's what I do afterwards. So, you know, whatever. That's my life. That's what I do, right? Judges. So anyway, right? Yeah. If you want to support our work, go to patreon.com/cowdaily. How in? Darren Grimes wants you to, so you must. patreon.com/cowdaily. If you want to make a one-off contribution to our work, how in the PayPal? Links in description of this podcast on all your platforms. Also, please share the stream, good people. I'm back. Got to do a Grimes once in a while, haven't you? Really just,
I love it.
Great times in your life, right? So what I want is Sunak, and I want him now. But before we go on to other things about Sunak, which I've found absolutely hilarious what they've been doing here, and I have purposely haven't told you about, so because I just love seeing you react to this fucking wild shit the establishment do, and it is wild. But in the meantime, Sunak's a wrong'un, right? Absolutely. Let's remind ourselves. This is from the Times. Rishi Sunak was part of a small team of hedge fund bosses who shared nearly $100 million after an audacious stock market bet that lit the touch paper on the 2008 financial crisis. The Times allege that Rishi Sunak and a small team started the 2008 financial crisis, which led to all manner of horror and austerity. And as community workers, we saw it firsthand. But the Times goes on. The new chancellor, well, this was obviously an old article, the new prime minister, was a partner at the hedge fund TCI when it launched an activist campaign against the Dutch bank ABN AMRO in 2007, resulting in sale to the Royal Bank of Scotland, RBS. The deal loaded RBS at the time, led by Sir Fred Goodwin, who was stripped of his knighthood in 2012, with crippling debt and led to a $45.5 billion government bailout. So, just thoughts on what our new Prime Minister did, in part, to make up his massive £725 million fortune. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we talked about this on a previous show when he first became Chancellor, is that, you know, it really didn't, when you look at his and his wife's collective wealth, like, they are literally, like, pretty much the richest people in the UK. So the salary that he will have been getting as, you know, as an MP, as Chancellor, is again like pittance to somebody like Rishi Sunak. So why on earth was he in such a job when, you know, he clearly doesn't need the money now?
So he can serve the public. It's so he can serve us.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's fucking not. I'm just putting a daft Sunak voice on.
That's no, and that's what they say. But really, it is to make sure that, you know, that the well, you know, the rich stay wealthy all of the time. That's the only, you know, that's not just Rishi Sunak. That's really kind of what most of them are in it for. It's about.
Well, we'll be coming on to Starmer later, so just hold tight.
Yeah, but how do they retain their wealth? And that's the only explanation that makes any sense. You know, none of them are ever fucking qualified to do the job. You know, but they do have the motives to do it, which are never ever working in the interests of ordinary people ever.
For real, man. Like, yeah, listen, there must be something like virulently wrong with these people that haven't done a Tom from MySpace. Made a gang of cash, and all he does now is post like a picture every month or something on Instagram, and he travels and takes like photographs and just gives his money away to like cool charities and shit.
We didn't deserve Tom.
None of us deserved Tom. I was never actually on MySpace. I was, believe it or not, a really late adopter to social media. I refused to do it.
I was really late to social media just because I was poor.
There you go. Two great reasons. You were poor and I was belligerent. And in some respects, I wish I'd just not. I would have had at least 100% less death threats, I think. Just a big shout out to everybody who's ever given us a death threat. Still here.
Same.
Still DRE. Don't forget about Dre. Probably shouldn't do that. Like, they're such gobshite liars. Be like, and then he brandished a gun.
Yeah, no, honestly,
you can't
get away with it. You can't get away with shit. I think actually, I've just seen Paul Daly pop up there. Like, literally the other weekend, my piss was boiling when I saw that he'd kind of handed in his resignation and saw the shit that he was immediately getting. And it was the same wording in the comments by lots of different accounts or the same.
You got it as well, royal.
And
style.
I don't normally engage in it, but I just couldn't, you know, and you just can't help yourself.
Can't let him do it himself, can we? You know,
and so it was like, done. I just couldn't help myself. I was just like, right, okay, I've got plenty of time and unmedicated ADHD. I'm going to get stuck into every single one of these twats.
Right out of Ritalin, you're getting it.
Yeah. Like, fuck you all.
Jesus, when I run out of weed, it's game over. It's fucking, like, I'm bad enough smoking. I'm a fucking what? Imagine what I'm like when I'm like, fucking... But that's the one. Give me sativa and I'm fucking eager as a beaver. Anyway, Sunak. Shall we do more on him?
Yes.
Here he is. So this is from Pregnant Then Screwed, at Pregnant Then Screwed on Twitter. And they're an organisation it'll become clear. Rishi Sunak presided over the Self-Employment Income Support Scheme, SEISS. That was obviously during lockdowns, which gave new mothers a much lower payment because they had taken maternity leave. When questioned on this, the response was that maternity leave is the same as taking holiday. Thoughts, etc.
Or dial, like, just don't. I mean, you know, you don't have to have kids, and I don't kind of understand that it ain't the fucking same as taking a holiday. And you know, we've just, the last time I was on here, we did a thing about child poverty as well, and you know, this is one of the many things that they're doing that contribute to this, and it makes us poorer as a society for it, because we've got malnourished kids in need who aren't getting what they need to develop properly.
Absolutely.
And that affects, so yeah, it, but you can honestly fuck right off with that.
Oh, you can just fucking fuck clean off. He's the absolute worst of the worst. More about him. It's Mark Berry on Twitter. Sunak was convicted of a criminal offence committed as Chancellor of the Exchequer only 2 years ago. Had he any honour, he would no longer be an MP. His wife avoided 20 million of taxes through non-domicile status. This is how low the UK has sunk, and there's more. Nafia Azal on Twitter, this is not a new government. It's the one we've had the last 12 years. It's the one that crashes the economy. It's the one whose inaction led to hundreds of thousands of COVID deaths. It's the one that profits wealthy donors. It's the one that savages public services. Changing leaders doesn't change reality. Quite right.
Yeah, well, quite right. It's a kaleidoscope of cunts. You turn the lens. it's the same pieces just falling in a different formation every time, and that's what we've had for over a decade.
Like, all it is, mate. Yeah. That's absolutely all it is. Check this shit, though, right? This was in reference to, like, people saying that he was, like, Sunak was out of touch. This is Alistair Stewart, the, like, newsreader.
It is admired in the pony club circles that Rishi Sunak is one of those dads who stays behind to help put the jumps away after riding sessions.
Well, he's fully in touch with me. I remember when I was riding my horse, like through the estate, like it was on a hill, right? So like my horse, it used to slide down the hill and it was a nightmare. Rishi Sunak used to come and just pet it and whisper into its ear. And I'd just go, Rishi, thanks, mate. I nearly fucking fell off. And he was like, not a problem. Just make sure you ride or die when I'm prime minister. Says, well, I can't do that. You're a horrible Tory cunt. But like, thanks for the horse whispering. That really happened.
Oh, that's great. That's like saying he sits behind and sews the lacrosse nets back together.
All of this happened
Every bit of it happened. This is another like great quote tweet, and I want to talk about liberals, right? Paul on Twitter at PFR187, give him a follow, good account. He's quote tweeted James O'Brien, Prince of Liberal Media, and he said Sunak's going to be awful, but he's going to be conventionally awful, and that's almost a relief. Aye for ye, because as Paul says, in other words, I'll be all right again. So I want you to just give him a little bit on like sort of how liberals are at the minute, and just like a little just what that cool general crack is when it comes to like the building the status quo back in and fuck everybody else below them.
Mm-hmm.
Over to you.
God, I mean, I could fill like a double show with this kind of thing. For
true, we've got about a minute though.
yeah, so all my ranting about it is, yeah, I mean, I want to acknowledge as well that there's an exhaustion with mm-hmm. people of just like, you know, which isn't necessarily coming from a place of bad faith, but it isn't helpful, where it's just like, we have to get them out. But they're not really looking at like who we've got in and what we've done. And I've had this conversation with people I know before. Normally it's in the context of Tony Blair, kind of talking about Tony Blair as if, you know, or with almost a kind of nostalgia, like, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, we know it wasn't great, but, you know, life was a lot better under him. It's like, not for the Iraqi people. Do you remember that small little matter and how he's a literal fucking war criminal who's like...
criminal.
You know, who's like killed millions of people. Yeah, let's just gloss over that. But we've said this all along, that there's people who will kind of still vote for them because it is... you know, it started affecting the middle classes now where they're really struggling as well. And that's what they're panicking about. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of the poorer people have always kind of been fucked in almost, you know, in lots of different ways. And it's almost like, yeah, okay, they're not going to be any better off under the Tories, under who is currently, you know, driving the wheel at Labour. You know, they're not, but... people in that middle ground might be a little bit better off, and that's really kind of what they're getting at there. I think that tweet summed it up perfectly.
Oh, legit. One-liner completely nails it. That's what's going on. It's these fuckers desperate to be plugged back into the matrix, desperate to have the status quo back, desperate to have interest rates down so they'll be all right. Desperate. And the fucking neck of them. Like, here's one for liberals, right? Like, why are you blowing up our pages, right? If the polls are so weighted towards Labour that you don't fucking need the left.
Mm.
Why do you need us?
Yeah, there's been a bit of that going on this week, hasn't there?
This week? This year? This decade?
No, it's been particularly bad. It's been particularly bad.
It's been really bad since we put the podcast out with Paul Daly. Let's have it right.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Let's be absolutely drilled into what's going on here.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, fuck all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
One for you, and here's another two. Basically, I've got no time ever at all for people who want to pull the rope ladder up and leave everybody behind freezing and starving in their houses. How many people this winter do we need to fucking freeze to death or starve to death or fucking both and have the emergency services boot their doors in 2 months later because nobody fucking knew?
Yeah.
How many? How many more?
Well,
how many fucking more? And we'll come on to Starmer, your fucking little hobby horse, later, and his fucking austerity 2.0. I'm not talking to you, by the way, Alice. I'm directing this at liberals. I probably should have went fucking full screen on my own, but you know, that's why we need a producer. Rah, 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 rant, rant, rant. Fuck you, liberals. You were sitting there like, just, is he talking to me? Is he not talking to me? That's all.
I think I pretty much knew that energy was directed entirely at...
I fucking can't stand them. Like, at the end of the day, right, it boils down to this. Have you got any solutions for millions of people living in poverty and the 10 million more that Martin Lewis said have been dragged into poverty this autumn? No.
No.
Well, you're evil then. Because that's, like, it's not numbers. It's people and their lives fucking not being able to eat.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are sat there now, right, with a fucking candle heater. It's because they're not put the fucking heating on. They're in their fucking 70s. They did not work all their life as working class people to like get their pension sorted, to have them fucking fund the fucking oil and gas companies. And we know why they're doing it. It's because they lost loads of money during COVID and they're being given free rein to fucking do more. In Norway, right, Shell, 95% tax, right, by the state, and it goes into a sovereign wealth fund in fucking Norway, which benefits the country in infrastructure and education and everything like that. Britain, they pay fucking 10%. And my parents are sitting with a fucking candle heater. Fuck right off. Fuck your status quo and fuck your mortgages. Now it's personal.
No, absolutely.
And by the way, I don't mean like everybody with the mortgages. I mean like rich people and all of that fucking middle class liberati fucking twat think fucking, oh yeah, just keep voting for Labour. Like, in spite of all the evidence that they're going to completely shaft fucking millions of people in poverty, make sure you vote for them. And by the way, I'm going to call you a lefty cunt while you're doing it.
Yeah.
No, and by the way, you're not allowed in our party, but vote for it. But we don't need you. Look at the polls, but vote for it. That seems to be the fucking so-called logic. And then they'll give it all this, where we're sensible, we're this, we're that. Keep repeating it, fool. You fucking have no rational fucking policies. You have nothing for millions of people living in poverty. And that is fucking evil. Let's call it what it is. It's evil.
Do they even understand that Labour's proposal is further austerity measures as well?
Well, they will, if they watch this, they will be by the end of this fucking show. Let me fucking tell you. But anyway, we'll park that up until later because there's a couple of fucking videos, right? Sunak. Anyway, Rishi Sunak, as I bring it right back down, because I don't mind Sunak because I'm a Tory, you see, because I get told it like 3 times a day by people who aren't fit to lace our boots, who don't care about people living in poverty. But where are the Tories? Anyway, I love Rishi Sunak. He's such a lovely Tory. He's a great Tory.
He's one of the good ones, isn't he?
He's one of the best. What I want to talk about, right, is his height. I don't care, and nobody should care, what height people are. It's about the content of their character. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because in positions of power, and I'm going to back this up with a bit of fucking research, they'll always try and make them look taller, right? Yeah. Rishi's a little lad. I don't care about that. I care that he's a horrible ghoul who crashed the economy and is now prime minister. But here we go. Philip Proudfoot, former leader of the Northern Independence Party. Rishi Sunak has stood next to King Charles. That's weird still to say. And the caption reads, "Is he standing on a box?" So,
well, isn't Prince Charles quite tall, or have I made that up?
No. Well, listen to this. How tall is Prince Charles? Prince Charles is 5'10" tall. The Prince of Wales is taller than his current wife, Camilla, but was the same height as his ex-wife, Princess Diana. An article on the Society pages suggests efforts were made to make him look taller than the late Princess Diana, both before and after their St. Paul's Cathedral wedding. What else does it say? Well, here's some pictures of Sunak, right? This is his actual height next to some other politicians. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. He's just a little lad. That's not a problem. He's got virtually no soul as well. So, you know, let's focus on that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he does look like he gets his suits made at Build-A-Bear, though, doesn't he?
I was trying to stay away from low-hanging fruit.
No, literally, there is a Build-A-Bear that, like, has a suit exactly... kind of what he wears, and it's just made me think that I think we should have, because you know you can get voices put in them and that.
I think we should
have one made for with the podcast Rishi. That says, "I don't have working class friends," every time you see
yeah, really, he doesn't, does he? Yeah. So Sunak, right, he's 5'6", which is cool, whatever, who cares? According to the Office of National Statistics, this makes him 5 centimetres shorter than the average man in the United Kingdom. He's approximately 4 inches shorter than Boris Johnson and 3 inches shorter than Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab, who's 5'9". Should he ever be the next Prime Minister? Well, he obviously is by now. He would be the shortest since Winston Churchill.
Who was even shorter? This is absurd.
Well, Churchill was proper short. You ever seen the picture of him next to Charles de Gaulle, who's 6'5"? He looks really small, yeah.
That's what I'm looking up immediately.
So anyway, This is another excerpt from it. Rishi Sunak is short, which is fine. It is literally fine. There is no height requirement for prime minister, but I think if you're paying a PR firm to manipulate photos to make you look taller, you're too insecure to be the PM. Well, now, a study by physiologists at the University of Groningen, obviously in the Netherlands, suggests height can determine a politician's prospects on election day. Their research explored US presidential elections, finding that taller candidates received more votes 2/3 of the time. So what do you think of that?
I think that's absurd, and that humans are absurd.
Like, crazy. Do you want to see something even more absurd? And it happened so quickly, I've ran a loop. So I've looped it 3 times. Check this out. So for the audio listeners, that was people literally pushing Rishi Sunak up when he was in that crowd where they were clapping him yesterday where he mugged off Hancock. Just after that, he went up what must have been bleachers or something, got on it, and the people around him was like, shit, and lifted him up.
Like, that's mortifying. Like, why are we like this? I don't really understand. I mean, I know what the studies are saying, but why? Like, what?
Well, it's because of, I think, they obviously do the whole focus groups and the studies and all of this, and they've went with trying to make it out like he's not a short king. Fucking crazy. Like, shouts to all the short kings out there. It's nobody cares, right? Nobody should care. And if anybody gives people grief for, like, not being tall, you're a fucking dickhead, mate. Simple as that. Like, give Sunak grief for who he is as a man. Simple as that. For who he is as a human being. Grief him for that. Grief him for what he's done. Don't grief him because he's short.
It actually makes me want to scream because, you know, when it's like, I've kind of know, and it's with the height thing, let's not pretend that it isn't blokes who get the shit for this, because it doesn't really matter if you're it matters as much if you're a short woman in these short things queen. And it's men who do kind of get the flack for that. But we talk about this whole thing about, you know, kind of body positivity and stuff like that, and yet here we are in 2022 and polls are still showing that taller men are going to be more likely voted in than shorter ones.
It's madness. Madness.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's absolute madness, but there we are and here we are. And it's so important to these people that they've just went ahead and lifted him up like a dafty. Let's look at it again. It's that absurd. Let's see.
It looks even worse. Like, he's fine just as he is. And then
let him be, man. Let him be short. Let him be who he is. I mean, look, Napoleon, he didn't do our badly, did he? You know what I mean? Napoleon didn't do our bad there at all, did he? Well, apart from when he was, like, sent in exile onto Mad Island. But apart from that, up to that point, he was all right. He killed loads of people in wars, man. That's what leaders are supposed to do, aren't they?
And his name is still synonymous with little man syndrome, even, like, hundreds of years later.
True, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was Churchill's vibe. I didn't actually know Churchill was a short lad. Like, I didn't realise he was that short, at least. But,
no, I didn't. I just thought he was a ghoul as well. I didn't realise he was a little ghoul.
That's it, just a ghoul. That's all he is, just a ghoul. Just a ghoul. Right, we'll take some comments before we move on, eh? So, who's in the who's? Right, I'm going to have to... There's quite a lot of people in, so I'm going to have to...
Okay.
Right. Nice. How are StreamYard? Get him on the screen. Guy Roberts. Hello, Guy. If he didn't have any working class friends when he was so short, he was knee-high to a grasshopper. He definitely won't when his wingman, Jeremy, insert Raymond Stang here, Hunt does his Baldrick budget. That's the one. Tyrannios. Napoleon wasn't actually short. Average height for the time, but the anti-Napoleon propaganda was pretty harsh. Sure. Wow.
I did not know that.
Wow, I didn't know that. Like.
That's a good fact. I like it.
How cool is that, man? That is totally cool. I love the comment section as much as doing the show, because he just, like, learning every single time.
Definitely.
So one more before we move on. Steve Jackson. If Sunak loses an election for wearing built-up shoes rather than cutting people's benefits and keeping the Rwanda policy, then we are messed up. Bang on again, Steve. Do call again.
But that's just like the, you know, there's been a lot of racist shit about Rishi Sunak, or, you know, kind of.
It's
within,
horrible and you know, it's kind of fucking disgusting.
And, you know, when I was like, when I was on Twitter just before I came on, it was, it wasn't just about him, but he was definitely included in a lot of the posts. The Great Reset was trending on Twitter.
Listen, I've got something. I literally, like, you didn't even know this, this World Economic Forum carry on. And the reason I did, our social media was getting blown up with this shit today. And I had to block a couple of people I didn't, because they were civil and people are entitled to their opinion. It's just the ones that tell you to fuck off from the jump. I'm like, I jog on, pal, not interested. Which bot farm are you from? So anyway, here it is. Right. Give me a minute and I'll just talk through this one, right?
Okay.
So this is a little thing I put together from the many that have been on Twitter with this World Economic Forum stuff. We can't go too deep into what the conspiracy is and all of that. You can find out for yourself. This is more directed at the people that were blowing up our social media, right? What I said to them was, have you ever like tried to research your own research and debunk it? Have you ever looked into who funds these things? Now, I can't like go utterly deep because, you know, we've got a lot to cover, right? But I'm going to pick one out, right? The one below here is World Economic Forum meme, which you were here. Congratulations to Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab and President Xi on the successful purchase of the UK. Their whole conspiracy theory is based on it's the Chinese Communist Party working the World Economic Forum as a puppet and they're taking over. And apparently the evidence base is the fact that like Rishi Sunak has got a picture on the World Economic Forum website. Yeah. So is Jacinda Ardern as well. So, you know, like she's obviously utterly bad or something. But the one thing I want to point out is this guy here, Avi Yemeni, who's a so-called journalist for something called Rebel News. He says, congratulations to Klaus Schwab on becoming PM of the UK. This is like boilerplate stuff that's going up like by all of these talking heads amplifying this shit, right? So once again, moving on, here's some research I did for you people, and it took us 5 minutes. I'm talking the people that were blowing up our social media today, right? That so-called journalist, right, he works for Rebel News, which was set up by Ezra Levant, right? He's very linked to Tommy Robinson, etc., but not whatever. Right. Listen to this. Ezra Levant is a Canadian conservative media personality, political activist, writer, broadcaster and former lawyer. Levant is the founder and former publisher of the conservative magazine, The Western Standard. He's also co-founder, owner and CEO of the far right media website Rebel News. OK, what next? In his early years, Levant undertook an internship with the Charles G. Koch Foundation Summer Fellowship Program in 1994. There's loads more, right? But that's the bit because of time that we're going to take. Here is all of a map of the Charles Koch Foundation and who they fund. We haven't got time to go into it, but if you really want to, freeze the show when it's over, go and look at it yourself. And this is intended as a primer. But, and this is fully directed at these people, think of it like this, right? The establishment or the thing that you're pushing against because you've been told by these billionaires that you're fighting against the establishment. The establishment is various different factions. What you're fighting for is one faction who tricked you, and I'm sorry to be the person to tell you this and rip the elastoplast off. They've tricked you into moving across the Overton window to the right wing. And you probably don't even realize that you're saying these talking points because the majority of people in my experience are good-hearted people. And I'm not taking the piss out of you. I refuse to do that, right? Because we've got to unify. But the problem here is, right, these people, the Koch brothers, Levant, all of that, right, they've been funding anti-climate change and climate change denial things for fucking decades, as well as other things based on libertarianism. And if you don't know what that is, please do your own research. You ask us to, I'm asking you to. Do your own fucking research. Start with putting debunked at the end of the things that you believe. We all do it, man. We all have to apologise. Fuck's sake, I got up here last week and apologised to Just Stop Oil because I was fucking wrong. It's okay to be wrong, man. We're all wrong all the time. But the establishment, I say again, is competing factions. Billionaires funding propaganda left and right. We played Talk TV earlier. Look at the funders of them. GB News, look at the funders of them. They're getting around you by being a platform for a lot of these things like anti-vax stuff. Look, there's questions to be asked of Pfizer and all other things as well. Of course there is. There should be an open debate. I get how you feel shut down, right? I get it. There should be an open debate. And that's why the people who are civil, I'm not blocking you from my social media. It's the ones that are dickheads can get fucked. Mm-hmm. But please, please do your own research. Anything you'd like to add?
No, not at all. Other than that, we do all check ourselves sometimes, and sometimes you do find yourself, occasionally, even when you're trying to be vigilant, I'll put my hands up and say I've found myself accidentally repeating one of their fucking sound bites that come out. And I've seen other people again who would like decent people and who people who say they don't really follow the news, but it's because it's that embedded and it's that everywhere that it even filters through to those people who don't have a big online presence. And I hear them saying these things and I'm like, you're not really on social media or anything. Where have you heard this, because a lot of it is very particular wording and stuff and things like that. particularly when we're talking about things like, kind of wokeism and stuff and things like that, and I hear people using these phrases, yeah. And I'm just like, this is how, because we're even hearing BBC News kind of using it as if it's a normal thing to say, and it's getting through to people who aren't really kind of right wing or anything like that, but it's becoming exactly what you said. It's shifting that Overton window to the right, and people not even realizing it. And I've seen that happen before. When people talking about the left and anarchists and stuff, and this is like people I know, kind of going, Antifa are all paid protesters and stuff and things like that. And I'm like, you literally sat in the pub with me. You know me. Do you think you know who I am? Like. You kind of know some of the stuff I've done. Like, do you think that they? Oh no, not you. And it's like, do you not realise then that's actually bullshit?
It's a load of shit, man.
It's happened to us all before. It's about being able to critically think, being able to check yourself. Sometimes it's not all of there's not one of us that has all of the answers. There's not one of us that's right all the time. And I'm glad you're telling people, kind of go out, like look it up, because we're not here to kind of spoon feed you all the answers either. It's it's not about making your opinion.
We don't know enough for that. It's as simple as that. We don't.
I definitely don't. I definitely don't.
And even then, we wouldn't.
And I do sometimes like to normalize. Just sometimes saying, I don't know enough about that thing to have an opinion on it. Like we really need to start saying that more. And like, there's been a couple of times I've done that. But, oh, what do you think about it? And you just hear people like kind of giving a fucking running monologue about something that they've never really read up upon before. And you go, oh, but what about this? And what about this? Oh, well, I don't know about that. And it's like, you've got a very developed opinion for somebody who's never.
It's like a script, mate. Really, it feels like a script. They're reading from a script, and it's got all these fucking. You can play like bingo with like get somebody to say it and just play like buzzword bingo. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's madness, man. Like all of these, like as I say, all of these are just like competing factions of the fucking establishment. And Levant and Koch and all of these other people, one thing they do have in common is they wanted to disengage certain groups of people from the so-called left or progressive movements. And they wanted to drive a wedge between us, and they've been utterly successful. If those anti-vax marches in Newcastle during lockdowns were anything to go by, because we saw people we know chopping it up with the ADL people.
Yeah, absolutely.
On these videos that were coming out, we saw it.
And I'll never ever forgive that. And I'll never forgive it either.
No. They'll certainly, I'll fucking talk to them about it, but when I see them, but I'll never fucking forgive it. It's fucking ridiculous, man. It's like, look, I get it. We've got to unite and all that. But racism, should go without saying, is really, really bad. It's really bad, Grotbags. You shouldn't do it.
The enemy of your enemy is not your friend.
Ever. Like, we're your friends, man. Us, regular people. Like, seriously, and I really, truly hope it doesn't come across as condescension, because that's not the energy whatsoever. Whatsoever. And I direct this at people who want to take the piss out of people who want to call conspiracy theories and theorists and whatever. Fucking take a day off, will you? Open your fucking like heart to people and try and be empathetic. We've all been subject to a huge amount of propaganda over the last fucking few years and over the last 10 or more. For good, we're always subjected to it. And you cannot blame people for falling foul of like people who have virtually unlimited resources who want to set out. I mean, Holland was targeted as well. Holland was. There was like, I think a million brochures went through people's doors and nobody really knows who put them there. And there were like during lockdowns and it was all like fucking all of these fucking far right talking points dressed up as like, you're the rebellion. You're the anti-establishment ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are in a sense because you feel like you are, but you're just going up against another wing of the establishment who's at war with them. Yeah. But if the establishment, as we know, are attacked from the outside, they'll turn on you.
For
I shouldn't
real?
Have pointed at myself there, just at you. I'll be fine. I'm going to be fine because I'm a paid shill and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm paid controlled opposition and that's why I'm fucking telling you that I don't think you're correct.
Yeah, me, you, and Volturine Dysnomia Hiss Hiss here are resident.
Well, she was the fixer. She was the one who teed it all up, innit? Sitting there with her fucking crown on. God bless the Queen. Anyway, moving on. but that's the crack. I mean, big up fucking everybody. Like, as long as you come with respect, you'll get it back. But, like, Jesus, man, please do your own research. How ironic. Anyway, Starmer.
Starmer.
Starmer-rama, right?
Sir Milli Vanilli.
Sir Milli Vanilli. I just want to like give a special shout out to Saul Staniforth, who's on Twitter, who put this together, right, this video, and I cannot bless him up enough. Check this video out, and what this video is, it's showing Starmer's recent speech at the TUC, which I will show you another excerpt of in a minute, cut with Cameron and Osborne. Just as they were like, we're talking about austerity. Check this.
An incoming Labour government is going to inherit an economic mess.
Government faced the worst economic inheritance in modern history.
A huge debt that built up in our society over the last decade.
The damage has been done to our economy, and an incoming government is going to have to pick up a real mess of our economy.
I've never been afraid to level with people about the hard truths.
The interest we're paying on our debt, the interest alone, not the debt itself, just the interest we're paying on that debt, is predicted to be around £70 billion.
You've all seen the damage that can be done from fiscal irresponsibility.
Today, we spend more on debt interest than we do on running our schools.
A stark reminder of the debt problems built up in Britain over the last decade.
The damage the Tories have done to our finances and our public services mean things are going to be really tough.
We have made the tough choices on public sector pay, on pensions, on benefits.
What I've said from a Labour Party point of view is I know there are going to be tough choices.
Tough choices about priorities in spending and sticking to them.
We know there are tough choices to be made.
In the last 5 years, we've taken the tough choices.
Tough choices that mean we can't do some of the things that we want to do as an incoming
so
Labour government.
Mean?
We have to live within our means.
We cannot take any risks with the public finances.
Is Britain going to pay its way in the world? Are we going to live within our means?
These decisions are absolutely vital to provide economic stability.
We have to restore economic stability.
We're trying to reduce our debt bills, bring some economic stability, do it by reforming a welfare state.
Economic stability.
Sound money depends too on sound public finances.
We will be the party of sound money.
A commitment to sound money and stability.
Be the party of sound money.
Britain's commitment to sound public finances.
Thoughts?
Sorry, I'm just turning my volume back up. I had to put it about half because George Osborne's voice was causing like a sensory overload in me.
just... Like the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh, just goes right fucking through you. Well, you saw, it was exactly the same. It was exactly the same. And whenever, every single time, no matter who it is, when you start hearing politicians going, we have to make tough choices, you know, in relation to the economy, they don't mean for themselves or for the people funding them and the lobbyists. They mean for people like me and you. And it's about the very poorest having more taken away from them, not the other way around, as it should be every single time.
Word. Absolutely every single time. I mean, I did a bit like last week, and it was about Labour getting their excuses in the very day it started, because you were waiting for it to come. It's not austerity 2.0 that they're going to bring. It's just further austerity.
Yeah.
Austerity never stopped for working class people, and it continues on, and we continue to get targeted by these things. Whereas the Liberals, and that we were talking about earlier, are far less likely, if at all, to have a problem, which is why you're seeing like James O'Brien, and this was before the cabinet was announced, going, oh, well, it's like the sense. He did another one earlier and he actually said it. Looks like the sensible people are back in the room. He actually fucking said it about Sunak. That's all they've fucking got. It's all just vibes. It's nothing to do with fucking like actual like answers for anybody other than him and his fucking daft pals.
Yeah, and if that's true, why wasn't he made Prime Minister 7 weeks ago?
I wonder, is it because it went to the membership?
Yes, that's exactly what it was, isn't it?
And is he a brown man?
Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it, that that's what happened. You know, you've got a racist membership.
Every single fucking time. But anyway, Starmer... This got overlooked this week, and I think it's no surprise that he did this interview this week, right? This is one clip, and we've had a fun-packed show, so I've had to keep it to just one. But this is what he said about protesters and what he actually wants.
What we were pushing for in that was longer sentences for those who are gluing themselves to roads and motorways, because that's where you're putting lives at risk. We didn't get that through, but that's what I wanted.
And that's what you'd want in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. I want to put kids in jail for 10 or more years because they really, really, really don't want the planet to be unlivable. That's the man we're dealing with here.
That's the man who got himself in by like really over selling his involvement in the MacLibel trial, where he gave a bit of pro bono advice to, you know, some of the protesters, and one of them who we've since found out was actually being spied on by a spy cop at the time and would have been privy to some of the advice that Starmer was giving them. And yeah, he's kind of rode on the back of that ever since, about how he's a friend of the people and everything like that when Corbyn was in government. And there he is with just pure cop talk about...
Big cop energy.
Yeah, as you say, people who want to not die in a ball of flames. And, you know, and I did like see your thing about Just Stop Oil the other day, and, you know, and the apology, you know, to them. And I think kind of we have to bear that in mind. And it's, you know, and I think we've got to say, it's like, I'm not sold on all of their tactics. And when I say all of them, I only mean a couple of them. Actually, they're doing some really good stuff as well, but that isn't reported about as much in the papers. And, you know, they've done some great things, and it's turned into this, you know, I've even seen like kind of a big conspiracy theory grow from there, which kind of, again, people who are normally really sound are repeating about Just Stop Oil and being funded by Eileen Getty and Heiress, and because... an oil heiress, because...
Isn't it funny how these people who we've referenced earlier will do the research or the research that they think they're doing in these groups, Antifa, Just Stop Oil, or they're all funded by fucking X, Y, and Z. Do you know, actually, something I'll pull up, which I didn't put in. Let's see if I can find it for you. It was... Actually, I don't need to. I'll just tell you. See that Charles Koch, right? You know how they're always talking about George Soros, and there's this like undercurrent of anti-Semitism wrapped around it.
Absolutely.
Charles Koch funded many things, funds all of this shit, but funded Rebel TV, didn't he? Mm. Right? So fucking, he went clubbed in a few years ago with George Soros on some other thing. I don't hear them like looking at, like any deeper and just being like, hold on a minute, he's doing it. All right, yeah, the establishment just kind of do whatever they want.
And actually what we're seeing is people kind of in the activist movements kind of not really giving that much of a shit about kind of climate change activists being thrown in jail. And you should give a shit. And like, even if that was that protester's aim, and we know some of them are using that as a tactic, they're saying fill up the prisons. That is something I've got my own issues with, and people who know my personal history know why that is. Mm-hmm. And they are using that as a tactic. But even then, it's, you know, by kind of going, oh yeah, lock them up or whatever, you're kind of legitimizing protesters being thrown in prison. And that shit will come to your door one day.
Without a doubt.
Probably sooner rather than later. I mean, we've done, me and you have both been on actions, not even that different to some of the stuff they're doing.
Totally, man.
Why the fuck would we be throwing them under the bus? You shouldn't be. Regardless, even if you don't agree with every single thing that they are doing, you should still be getting behind them on this, because it's terrifying. You know, this is one of the things that really does scare the shit out of me sometimes, to the point where you do kind of, you look at some of the things they're wanting to bring in and you're making preparations on what you're going to do. If there's a knock on your door one day,
no doubt about it, and that's
from not being involved in anything particularly spicy or anything like that. It's, you know, it shouldn't be one of these things of, you know, oh well, if you've done nothing illegal, you know, you don't have anything to worry about. That ain't the case anymore. It's not.
Absolutely not.
It's really not. Yeah, really, really minor. You know, you can have they're looking at serving injunctions on people before crimes have been committed. You can't be given the thumbs up to that just because...
Thought crimes, like that shit in like sci-fi films from like the 90s where it was like, wow, that'll never happen.
Yeah,
you like can't... crimes before you've even committed a crime.
Yeah, you can't be given that the thumbs up because somebody threw some soup at a piece of glass which was in front of a famous painting.
It destroyed the sunflowers, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it fucking did, obviously. But like, there's people who do think that that painting was damaged. As a result, the people don't realise that, you know, like, it's fine. The painting's okay. And if you're more angry with those protesters for that than you are about the people making the planet unlivable, then I don't know what to say.
True story, mate. And here's another thing, right? Like, you know how they're doing the image management thing around Sunak and his height and whatever? The fucking hell, these, like, Labour rights, whoever they are, all like trying to make out this, right? Check this out. Where is it? Right, so it was like on an LBC interview, you know, that we're just seeing, and Starmer stating that he wants longer prison sentences. Somebody shared that, JRC 1921 on Twitter, which is, in my opinion, the best account on Twitter. Please follow it. Somebody called at Starmer's Army said, you'll quote this, but not the bit where he talks about getting a detention for fighting because it goes against your boring narrative. What have a Corbyn lot got left for us? Quite sad, to be honest. Mate, I tell you what's fucking sad. Like, trying to go on like Starmer's, like, fucking, they're going on in that thread about, like, he's not boring. When he was at school, he got detention. And also, it was for having a fight. That's literally the level that they're trying to drag this fucking dafty up, like he's some big hard man. But unfortunately for him, right, the internet keeps receipts, and this is how he throws a punch. Check it.
Election campaigns are usually won on points rather than from a knockout blow. So the Labour leader knew he couldn't afford to pull a...
Right, the lad at the end, that's how he throw a combination, right? Disciplined and all that. Starmer, if he keeps throwing them, he'll break his wrist. He's thrown from his, like, elbow or something. It's like, I don't understand what's going on there, like.
I'm actually embarrassed that poster had tried to say that was the evidence that Starmer you know, is, I don't know, for the, I don't know what they're trying to do with that. That is some kind of like, you know, kind of
levels of cringe, man.
Like, honestly, it's like you got a detention. I kind of had to read that a few times and listen to you say it to kind of really understand what it was they were getting at. It was like, Jesus.
It's madness. It's like, oh, you know, no, he's big and hard because he got a detention at school for fucking fighting. It's like, what are you on about? Because within that interview on LBC, he was like asked like about the boring thing, and they were, like, he was like, oh, well, actually, I got detention. And they're all like, look, he got detention at school. How can he be boring? It's like, fuck me. Like, what, he had a fight at school when he was 14 and started giving it this? Like, why are you trying to, like, image manage the fucker? Like, again, this speaks to, like, how people, like, think this is, like, fucking X Factor or something. Like, show with the policies, man. Like, what are the policies? Like, why are you trying to, like, make him out to be some kind of bloody hard man? And you guarantee... Sorry, go ahead. What are you going to say?
They don't have any. And what that kind of Labour are doing, they're just kind of going on kind of stuff that's in the news and picking on that. That's why he's, you know, because the Just Stop Oil stuff and the paintings, it's been all over the news and stuff like that. And he's wanting to, what they're wanting to do is appeal to this, like, you know, what they see is like us being a right-wing country and saying, oh, no, we have to say these things. Now on the flip side of things, they'll be, you know, speaking to campaign, you know, kind of the heads of campaigners and charities and saying, oh, no, we're gonna do all of these good things for you, and we're gonna make things really different that are better for the people, but we're not gonna advertise that because, you know, we won't win the election if we don't do that. And that is literally what they say to people, and we know that they do. And actually what that means is they're making campaign promises without actually making a campaign promises. So when they break them, they can, you know, which they will do inevitably.
Oh, there's no, you know, doubt at all.
There's not a chance they're doing the things that they're kind of promising on the sidelines. And they can say, oh, well, we never said we would do that. And it's kind of, you did, but you just, you know, kind of said it. You never said it out loud. You know, you said it privately to try and get the support of, you know, be it charities, be it campaigners, be it unions. They're kind of like whispering all of that. They're still riding on the back of the really hard work of the few good people that are left in the party, that are left standing, who, you know, do have, you know, reputations for doing the things that they say they're going to, and showing that they really do give a shit about people, that they're still riding off that while at the same time holding those people's heads under fucking water.
Yeah, man, completely. And like, as we've said throughout the show, if you haven't got any answers for millions of people living in poverty, especially right now in this situation in 2022, you are evil. I will not hear the gaslighting anymore from that fucking flying monkeys on social media or anywhere else. You are evil, and that is not good, man. It's like, do you know, if you have it in your power as a person to provide comfort to people, and it through the work that you do as like leader of the opposition or even the prime minister, and you don't do it, you are evil. Like, I'm not hearing this out of touch, don't understand. Your brief is literally to manage the country for everybody. That's your brief. So if you want to put yourself forward as like the managerial class, right? Then manage. We'll shut up if all of the people are taken care of. There'll be no need for a show. No. I'll go off to my garden and fucking grow the veg and give it away to people who might need it.
No, but
that's what I want to do. I don't want to do this, but we have to, don't we? Like, we have to use the platform.
Absolutely, and their only tactic, and we saw it on that video, is just they will always just blame the person who was there before. We've just had that for years and years and years. I mean, like, even though it was done in a really passive aggressive way, Rishi Sunak's speech today was basically doing that to Liz Truss, who has been there for, you know, she hasn't been in Downing Street long enough to shovel the shit out of Larry the Cat's litter tray. And it's still almost like, oh, yes, mistakes were made. It's this big mess that we have to clean up. And it's just like, no, yous have been there. Yous have been there for over a decade, and it's been the same people. You were chancellor for long enough. why are things not better already? But it's all, you know, it's always the same thing. It's somebody else's fault. It's the previous, you know, it's the opposition's fault. It's the war in the Ukraine. You know, it's anything other than themselves and their shitty self-serving decisions.
Word life, homie. That has been Cow Weekly. Thanks for everybody for being here. But before we do go, we'll take some more comments. Just a few. Sorry we can't get through all of them. There's like a lot more people here this week and a lot more comments. Right, so new guy. Hold on, come on. Dan, yeah, but the sheer amount of people whinging about the paint as if they were actually damaged is mad. Absolutely spot on. Nice to see you here too, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Guy Roberts is saying, tell us who you had a fight with, Steamer.
Yeah.
We do need to know this.
That was definitely my first like thought when I saw that. I want to know who it was.
What about that? Steve is saying it's the tofu eating Walker Artie's fault. Bloody hell.
As always.
Joella Braveman back in the Home Office. Fucking wonderful.
Literally said in the house. That was literally said in the House of Commons as well. Like, it's just pathetic. It's pathetic. Like, yeah. They can't help themselves.
Kirsty's saying it's great to support other activists. I learned loads about rabbit farms that way. Mm. Good stuff, mate. Yeah,
absolutely.
Leanne's saying, got to give my eyes a break from the screen so that I can be ready for Socialist Think Tank. Hopefully see you at 9 p.m. Fantastic show, Mike and Alice. Cheers, mate. I'm going to do my very best to be in the comments as well, but the second half of Gateshead's match is on as well, so I'll have like two things going at the same time whilst getting wrecked out of my mind. So don't expect there to be any kind of like coherence like there, of course, has been in this show, because I always stay sober for it. No, I do. You didn't, with your fucking mad jug of fucking gin and Guinness or whatever the hell. What are you going at this week?
I had a Guinness the last time I was on the show.
I had a Guinness once last year, right?
No, it was 2 weeks ago or something.
So before we go, please do become a patron and support our work directly at patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. Links in the description for PayPal if you want to make a one-off contribution to our work. How in?
Honestly,
I've got some Belter Grimes content for you, but I'll just save it for another time. Yeah. Honestly, he's a little dafty, isn't he? A proper little dafty.
It's hilarious.
Minting it. Anyway, thanks for being here, mate. Always a pleasure, never a chore as usual. Any final thoughts there? You can be Snarf this week, not Springer. Any final thoughts, Snarf? Actually, no. We haven't done Orko for months. Orko, tell us your wisdom.
Oh, can't you do this every time?
I do it because you never have anything.
I need to start thinking of something to say at the end. I'm just going to start like coming out with like really absurd shit. Pet every piece of moss you see.
Right, I'll bail you out. Everybody, a stitch in time saves nine. Don't forget. Yeah, bye now. Yeah, well, it'll be bye now when I find the fucking closing titles. There they are. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Bye.